Thanksgiving and all.
Well, welcome to Over 50, starting over, everyone. I'm Barry Edwards.
And I'm Merle Garrison.
We're off to a great start.
We really are, aren't we?
Yeah. So
here we are. You made it through the Thanksgiving holiday.
Oh, dude, and, it's our favorite holiday. It's our favorite holiday. It never disappoints. We have a very high bar for food everybody brings. We had at least 15 people there. Absolutely delicious, best meal of the year, and just a whole lot of fun, big heartfelt kind of a day. And it is a beautiful day, beautiful, beautiful day. How was your? You had the best Thanksgiving, and we haven't talked about it. I want to hear about this.
Not at all. But wait, before we go over to me, let's finish on. You know, you started. So you know, where did you have Thanksgiving? Was it at your house? Was it at your mom's?
As always, at my mom's out in Painesville. That's where most of my extended family is, like my brother and sister-in-law, aunt, some cousins typically come up from, well, I have a couple of different sets of cousins from Brunswick and from somewhere else on the west side. And so everybody makes the journey and has a really good time. It's, you know, I get there and I just, I get Lisa and I and my brother and sister-in-law typically get there at first, intentionally, and I break out the Bloody Marys. And so we have a couple Bloody Marys, and then the family starts arriving, and, you know, then we eat, and then it's all over with. You know how that is.
Yeah, everyone's trying to find a place to curl up on the floor.
I literally been dying to hear about yours. We haven't talked since then.
Oh, hold on. But you've been busy.
What?
I wanted to find out. Now, you typically make the garlic mashed potatoes.
Oh, my nearly world famous garlic mashed potatoes.
Yes. And yes. How did it come out this time?
Always perfect. Always go over very, very well. Yeah, it's a very simple recipe, but I perfected it over many, many years. I'll say briefly, they're even relatively healthy for mashed potatoes. I've tried doing the thing. Well, it's a holiday. Let's throw some butter in there. Let's throw some sour cream in there. Right. It always dumbs them down. They're not as good. Here is the recipe. Really? I never
get your pencil or your pen and paper out on this.
It's a bunch of potatoes.
Nearly world famous.
Nearly world famous. So a bunch of potatoes. Nothing's measured, by the way. Need
the way I like it.
Like a bulb of garlic, really good bulb of garlic. And I mean the whole bulb. I don't mean a clove. Thing.
Okay.
A bulb.
Yeah.
And a crap load of onion, like three onions. Onions vary in sizes, so you know that's relative. But I mean, I've never used.
What kind of onions do you use?
Doesn't matter. Basically.
Oh, doesn't. Okay.
But your basic yellow onions, fine. I take the onions and garlic. Finally, dice up the onions. Finally, dice up the garlic and put them on a super low heat in olive oil on the stove and let them simmer for the entire time that the potatoes are boiling, which is like a half hour.
Okay.
And so then you need to take the milk. There's only like two more ingredients. So the milk you have to, you know, put in the microwave in a glass or something. You got to get it to a froth. It has to be at a froth before. Huh. So when the potatoes are done and you strain them and put them in the bowl to mash them up, you don't peel them. Don't peel them. And then just take your beaters and smash them down to get them started. Get that milk, that 2% or a whole milk, doesn't matter. Put some of that in there, some of that. And then the sauteed onions and garlic, like you're going to have a giant pan of it. You're going to be shocked. Like that whole giant pan, and then a crap load of olive oil. Think of olive oil as your butter.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of it. And so when you start mixing that up, you'll add salt as needed.
Right.
But, hopefully it wouldn't be too much, but potatoes typically do eat up the salt. So you got to get them super creamy. Like the goal is, I don't want people even want to put gravy on these potatoes.
Right on.
That's what I shoot for.
That good. I got you.
Not only that, but I want them very creamy. Like I want them so creamy. Like sometimes I make chicken fingers with them. Like I'll fry chicken fingers with breaded chicken fingers and buffalo sauce on them. You know, So they're like wings, right?
Yeah.
And dip them. Use these garlic mashed potatoes as the dip. Oh, really? Dude, it's so good. So good. But it works so well.
Sounds pretty good.
Our Thanksgiving, like Lisa makes these roasted Brussels sprouts, which are so, like, I can't wait. I put them right next to my nearly world famous garlic mashed potatoes so I can mix them all together.
And,
yeah,
hey, that sounds really pretty good, man. Nice. Yeah. Nice. That's a great recipe you just shared.
I'm telling you, don't veer from it. Like, don't be trying to add butter and anything else because you're going to make it better. You won't.
Boy, seriously. That reminds me. I saw a video this weekend of a woman who, I guess her daughter had put cream cheese into the mashed potatoes, which was a variation that the away from the family tradition. And that woman was fit to be tied. And she made her daughter clean up everything at the end. Like, nobody was going to help her. She had to clean up everything because she messed up those mashed potatoes.
Oh, that's
important stuff right there, man.
Right, right. But now my mom, that reminds me, my mom makes a little bit of some traditional mashed potatoes in case someone doesn't like these really garlicky mashed potatoes.
Right.
And so, you know, we get there early and she's like, so I put condensed milk in my mashed potatoes. I'm like, yeah, okay. Well, she goes, but I didn't realize it was sweetened. And I'm because that clashes.
Yeah,
the savory with this. Fortunately, she doesn't use that much. You really couldn't tell. But yeah, when she said that, I was like, yikes. I mean, that's eating cake with beer or something.
Right, right. You know? Yeah, those two don't go together.
Yeah, things just don't go together.
Right,
come on, man. I'm dying to hear about yours.
Yeah, well, no, mine was awesome. Okay, so
lay the groundwork. Yeah.
So we had lots of family in town. My mom and my stepfather,
place,
Larry. Yeah. Well, Larry and mom were actually, they were staying at Larry's sister's place. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. And they just live a half hour away. And that's where we had Thanksgiving, was over at Carol's house.
Oh, I didn't know.
And
that.
It was really nice. But my brother came on Wednesday with his wife, Karen, and they stayed at our place. And we were having people over on Friday. So we made a turkey and Thanksgiving dinner as well.
Wow.
And so I made the turkey. And yeah.
Have you done one before?
Oh yeah, I have a special recipe for my turkey.
Do you brine it?
I've been using. No, I don't. Here's what I do is that I make a rub for the turkey that includes thyme and flat parsley and butter and salt and pepper. So it's very simple. And then what I do is I, you know, after the turkey's thawed, I set it out for a couple hours to get it to be more room temperature so that I can peel back the skin on the breast of the chicken. And then I put that rub underneath of the skin.
This is work, man.
And, it is hard work. And then you put the rub all over the outside of the chicken and I stuff the chicken turkey. And then I stuff the turkey with lemons and onions. And now the lemon and the onion provide this moisture for the especially for that turkey breast, and of course the rub cooks into the skin and into the meat, which creates this divine taste of juicy tender turkey. It is to die for.
Really?
And I found this I actually got a recipe from the guy that played Doc on The Love Boat. And
he's
the guy that turned me on to the lemons and the onions and the turkey. And then I lost that recipe, but found another one that was similar to it. And that I've been using that for years. So I had to get up on Thanksgiving morning at 3 o'clock in the morning to take that turkey out and get it set. And then I had to set it down for 2 hours and I was supposed to go to sleep for 2 hours and come back. I couldn't go to sleep.
Oh,
so I was
probably wouldn't either. Yeah.
From 3 until about 1 o'clock in the morning. The next day I was whipped, but we had Thanksgiving over at Carol's house and it was amazing. Carol had a bunch of her friends. There's like 18 people over there.
Oh, nice.
And we actually had two tables. It was that big.
Sure. We have two tables at my mom's too.
And it was a blast. I mean, Carol's friends, Emery and I have gotten to know a bunch of Carol's friends because she just lives over in Mesa. And it's only a half hour from our house and we hang out with them. So we knew almost everybody there. We met a few new people.
Cool.
The food was unbelievable. I ate more food over the weekend than I think I've eaten in a long time. It was great. I basically went into a food coma on Thursday and Friday and a little bit of Saturday too. I tried to fill up on the turkey as much as possible so I wouldn't eat all the bad stuff, but I definitely let myself eat a lot of really good stuff. So go ahead.
To that point, you were underweight, you were sick, you had COVID the last time that we had our, you're getting over it, you were just getting over it on, yes, on our I last was. Show, and you looked pretty gaunt. And
I
you
was
were, you were underweight, so you I look was. Really good today.
And I gained back all the weight and then some.
Really?
And then good. you know when you gain weight real fast, a lot of it is water weight.
Yeah.
And I lost a lot of weight too, and a lot of that was water weight. But so I was down to like 191 and I got up to 206 and now I'm back down to 200. So
wow.
What a swing, man. but Sunday night I was miserable. I was just like, I can't even look at it. Any more Thanksgiving food? No. Anne-Marie brought me like a little something on Monday, and I was almost like mad. Like, I don't want to look at that. But now my whole digestive, I'm back to myself.
Good.
I'm back to my normal weight. I'm back in the gym as of this week as well. So,
oh, that's so good.
Everything is back to normal.
Well, just tell me a bit about the highlights. Like, I was so excited. This is why we haven't talked. I didn't want to bother you at all with all you had going on. Tell me a little bit of the highlights about, like, you know, Scott coming, your parents coming, Scott and Karen coming. Yeah.
Well, first of all, it's always great when the family comes. But this time, a little something special happened between me and Scott.
What?
You know, Scott and I love riding motorcycles. And we'd always, ever since we were kids, we dreamed of riding motorcycles together. And, you know, it wasn't until we were in our 50s that we got motorcycles. And so Scott's coming to visit. I have two Harleys. And but I called my insurance company and wanted to find out, well, can my brother ride when he comes out? And the first and I went through all this stuff. Basically, here's what I did. I put him on my insurance policy, and that actually saved me money because he's got a great driver's record. I actually got like $2.50 of a refund. And then we, on Friday morning, we went on one of the most epic rides.
Nice.
I mean, I took them to all the really cool spots. There's this place called Bush Highway that's just magical. It's a canyon road, and it's just these big, like, almost like skyscraper cliffs that you're riding through. And there's a lake down there surrounded by cliffs. Oh my God, it's gorgeous. I wish I could share the picture I have on my phone that Scott took, but it was just great being on the bikes together. We hadn't ridden together in over almost 2 years. So this was just a wonderful thing that we got to experience. I've been reliving that in my head for the past several days, how fun that was and how glorious the weather was. It was one of the most beautiful days here in Phoenix when that happened. But it was also great. I mean, just having my mom here, and she's here until the end of December. And so, you know, they rented a place in this right next to where Carol lives. And so they have their own stuff going on and everything. Mm-hmm. And they're right around the corner. We're getting together this weekend. And
that's so cool.
You know, it really is. I really wish they lived full time right around the corner, because it's so nice having them here. And she looks great. And he looks great. And go ahead.
Weren't they thinking about doing that? I seem to remember you guys talking about that.
They kind of seem like they're, you know, Larry's got his business over in Georgia. Uh-huh. And you know, so he's kind of there for now, at least.
Okay.
And
okay.
But you know, they like to come out here because it's really this time of year in the Georgia area, it's getting colder and a lot of rain. Mm. And it's just absolutely beautiful here. I mean, every day is like 73 degrees and sunny. This is like
the best time ever.
Oh, yeah. It really is. It's absolutely, it makes going through that horrible summer heat so worth it. It's really good. So yeah, we had a great Thanksgiving, great food. Everyone's doing great. Lots of laughs. And it was great having Scott and Karen stay at our place too.
Nice. From there, I'm just going to mention, I had a nightmare getting this podcast to actually happen. This is like the podcast that wasn't supposed to happen. Everything went wrong. We're a half hour behind. It's night out. You could see back there. And so I'm trying to eke it out. And I just wanted, I wanted to catch up with Merle. I didn't want to let this go. I had a lot of things prepared that are gone, or at least I cannot easily rectify. So I want to roll with this. I don't have my typical, I have some tips and tricks and stuff up front usually.
I got a couple of things if you're going to get into something serious. I got to, all right.
Let's have fun.
So, wait, first off, did you take advantage of Black Friday or Cyber Monday?
No. Well, first of all, I never went out. I would never. My personality, no way am I going out in those crowds.
Me neither.
But what I was thinking about, the reason I hesitated, I was thinking, did I go online and like look for any deals? Like one of the problems that I just had, my computer froze up amongst other things because there's all these freaking holiday pop-ups coming up that I couldn't get off of my screen and stuff. So anyways, I was wondering, did I go on Amazon, take part of it, anything? I don't think I did, but go ahead.
Well, I've never gone to any Black Friday events. I didn't
I have
this
not
year
either.
Either. I was riding my motorcycle with my brother, a much better thing to do. But
sure,
on Monday, I did do some poking around to look for some deals. And I'm never going to let Cyber Monday pass me by again. Because I could not believe the deals that were available out there. So just a tip, next year, do not miss Cyber Monday. I mean, it's amazing how many deals are out there and how the sales were, you know, at least 50% off. I got
like where? You mean like a Walmart kind of thing?
Okay,
what?
so here... I'm not going to say what I bought because people that I bought them for will know what I got, but I did get something for myself too. I've lost all this weight and now almost all my motorcycle jackets don't fit me. They're too big for me. So I had $100 in gift certificates for Harley that I have not used. I've had them for about a year and I found this. Harley is 100 years old this year, 2023. Oh. I found this anniversary riding jacket that's $300. I got it for $119. So I only had to pay $19 for it. I mean, first off, getting more than half off. It was like 119. It was a $300 coat jacket. These things aren't cheap. And I had the gift certificates, $19. I mean, that was awesome. Charlie. But that's the kind of deals I was getting on other things too. So yeah, I was just saying that, hey, that Cyber Monday, I never even thought about it before. I almost got mad. Cyber Monday, they're trying to trick us.
Well, don't know what to do. I was sitting on my computer on Monday. Where do I go?
Anywhere. Like Amazon had all kinds of sales going on. Anything online, like the online retailers, they even have a section. Any online retailer you can go to, and they'll have a Black Friday section, and you can see exactly or Cyber Monday section, and see everything that's on sale over there. Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Well, that's cool. Great tip for us guys, because us guys don't think about this.
Yeah, I never did. Yeah. No. All right. So I got a couple other things too, in the spirit of, hey, here's some cool things that you can do. But this one, remember I was given, I don't know, I gave something on this before, but these are things that you can do with a banana peel. And this is, it's kind of silly.
Really?
Yeah, it's stupid. But you know what? I was actually surprised by this because I'm like, okay, what can you do? The thing you can do is you can shine your shoes with them. And here's the thing. It's the peel. The main ingredient in shoe polish is potassium. And if you peel a banana peel, that inside of that banana peel is almost all potassium. So what you do is you peel it, make sure it's leather though. You can't, if you put it on anything that's not leather, it's going to ruin it. To peel that banana, And then you just take that peel, the inside, not the outside, and you rub it all over your shoes. And then you, and you in a circular motion. And then you just get your brush or whatever, however you get the polish off, and just brush that stuff off. Your shoes are going to be shinier than they've ever been. And you won't be using all those toxic chemicals. And you'll be saving the planet at the same time that you have really shiny shoes.
Kumbaya. Okay.
So I thought I'd throw that out there.
All right.
So here's a follow-up that I wanted to do here from our last show. We talked about Mao's America the last time we were on here. Yeah. And several people contacted me that listened to the show regarding this book. And I just wanted to tell you, one of them is my friend Mo. And remember I was saying that this book is something that everybody should read, and there's a reason why, because all of these crazy things that are going on, they seem like they're unconnected, but this woman, Xi Van Fleet, who wrote the book, who again was she survived Mao's Cultural Revolution. She really puts everything in perspective, and you can see that none of these things are an accident.
Oh, sure.
But so Mo heard our podcast, and she ordered it, the hard copy, hardbound right away, and she got it. And the other day she sent me a text, and she says that she already reached page 100 in Mao's America. Her, being Xi Van Fleet, her explanation of the 60s attitudes and the infiltration of higher education throughout the decades alters my perspective of so many things I've believed most of my life. Incredibly well written. And then she went on to say that everybody needs to get this book. In fact, get multiple copies and give it to other people. And she said, if you this is one of those that you have to have on your bookshelf that you can pull at any time, along with 1984 and Animal Farm. Mm. So if you've read either one of those books, you know what I'm talking about. Mm. And this is one of them. So you know what's going on. And even once you know what's going on, then you can come up with a plan to stop it. But if you don't even know where this is coming from, then it's impossible to stop it. And you're toast. And we don't want to be toast. So anyhow, get the book, Mao's America by Xi Van Fleet. She is spelled X-I.
I got something that's complimentary to that, and it's completely spontaneous. Today, I happened across Dave Smith's latest podcast. I wish Dave would at least use his middle initial so it didn't sound, you know, like really David A. Smith. It's would like be great.
A billion Dave Smiths out there.
Yes. Well, his website is Comedian Dave Smith. So at least there's that, comediandavesmith.com. But I started talking about him a lot lately. I find him absolutely fascinating. He was just on Rogan a few days ago. Again, his own podcast I subscribed to several months ago. I love it. I can't get enough of it. It's absolutely fantastic. And he did just do a deep dive into the Israeli-Palestinian problem. He did a part one and a part two, just him. And he laid it all out in probably about 3 hours total, maybe 2 hours, maybe an hour each. And I encourage everybody to go and look at that. In his podcast, his guest spot on Rogan, he goes on there quite a bit. And this was about 4 days ago. He did a more concise version of that. And it was about, you know, the podcast was about 3 hours total, but he probably laid out the Israeli-Palestinian thing in about an hour. And this is what I took notes on, and I wanted to share with our audience and try to boil that down to 20 minutes. But I lost my notes right now. But totally separate from that. I
believe you lost your notes. What a bummer.
Well, I could find them, but based on everything that happened tonight, it's like I gave up and everything. But this is not my point. Back to the point of your book, Merle, you're going to love what I'm going to say right here. So today he came out with a new podcast. His guest on it was Tucker Carlson. And it was a nice clean hour of them going back and forth. And boy, those two are on the same page. It's a terrific podcast, but they talked a lot about how they talked about a particular famous journalist of 20 years ago, and I can't think of his name right now, who wrote a book that's very much like the book you're talking about, and saying that he was like ridiculed as being the biggest conspiracy theorist in the world 20 years ago. And he's spot on. I think the name of the book, or at least what he said, was how will America make it to 2025? And look where we're at. And he said, are we going to, Dave says, are we going to make it to 2025? And Carlson is like, you know, that's a valid question with everything that's going on. How they're, oh God, maybe this was part of that. Maybe it was part of the other podcast, but about how in 1971 under Nixon, Nixon gave the economic power over to the Federal Reserve. And now all of a sudden we're on this crappy fiat system where they manipulate our currency. Now banks, they're not based off of gold. Now they can take 90% of your money, 90%, keep 10% in the bank, take 90% and invest it for themselves. You know, crap hits the fan. Everybody wants to take their money out. You'll be lucky to get 10% of your money back now. So there's just so many things that our country has bastardized today. And but Dave was a little optimistic, and I think it was primarily because of the death of mainstream media. And as he's mainstream truly now is online, as he pointed out, Tucker Carlson got fired or canned from Fox and now has 10x'd his audience.
Yes,
on X.
That's right.
Which is
That's
great. Exactly right. Yep. Which is yep. Which is a godsend for our country. So the main so-called the previous mainstream media continues to shoot themselves in the foot with their they arrogance.
Do. Yep.
And that's the best thing we got going for us.
I 100% agree with that sentiment, is that we do have, it's a new paradigm.
Yeah,
you know, we went from, you know, the three channel system to the multi-channel system, and now there's no shared common thing that we're all seeing anymore. Everybody's seeing different stuff, getting different information. But the good news is that now there are people out there like Tucker Carlson that it's not shackled by the mainstream media.
He
what
says,
he can say and what he can't say.
Call it. It's no longer mainstream online. These podcasts are now mainstream. Call it corporate media. That's
corporate media. That's actually a pretty good, that's a moniker. Pretty good description of what actually is happening right now. And I got to say, I have really been enjoying Tucker Carlson. I liked him when he was on Fox, but I like him a lot more now.
He's unshackled.
Because he can say what he really thinks. And now that brings up something that I saw Tucker Carlson saying within the last 24 hours. And I thought of you, and I couldn't wait to talk to you about it because I thought it was really cool. And it's going to be Lisa's least favorite subject, UFOs.
Oh,
sorry, Lisa,
but I gotta say that
I think a lot of things that are happening these days are all connected. And I think that it's important that I think this is connected to a bigger picture myself, but I want to just run this past you. Tucker Carlson is very positive that you know, these things that we're seeing are not human made, and that
I'm positive as well.
That our federal government, although they've now admitted that they have these crafts and they've alluded to the fact that there's these non-human beings that they've seen and maybe interfaced with. That's what we're getting from, and we're getting this from under oath in congressional testimonies, right?
So, from the highest ranking people, David Grush in particular. And it had the highest clearance that you could possibly have. Understand this too. He's got most of our elected government officials behind him, which is why he's able to continue to come forward. But he has to get clearance from a congressional committee of some, I forget their name, as to what he can say and can't say, because there's national security stuff at risk.
So that's exactly where Tucker Carlson went next, is the national security concerns, and that you know, he is saying that, well, the federal government has kept this under wraps for many years now, and they're just now coming out. Of course, Schumer came out with the UFO Act. I can't remember what the name of it was, but
basically it passed this is to Congress. Release
this information, correct.
And, but it has to pass the House.
But it hasn't been not released yet, right? We're still getting just bits and pieces here. And Tucker Carlson is saying, well, hey, let's take a look at that. Because the line is, the reason that we haven't gotten this information so far is that it would be so scary that it could cause public unrest because of the high fear that comes out of this.
Yeah, it's one reason. There's many reasons. Okay. I could quote more.
Okay, well, that would be interesting, actually. But let me go say ahead. This. Go that ahead. The next thing he went to is that can't be the reason why they're not releasing this information.
Correct.
Because the federal government majors in producing fear and putting it out to you. Look at what's happened over the last 3 years here, 3 or 4 years. It's all been fear mongering, right? Yeah. So that can't be it. So then he goes to, well, logically, what could it be? And what he says is, this is how the federal government acts when they're covering up a crime. Mm. He's not denying that this could be an alien force, or it could even be spiritual beings there. But the federal government has knowledge of this, and that actual knowledge of it actually belongs to us, the citizens. We're the ones that pay for this, because it is the government serves at our leisure, not the other way around. And so he feels that there's a crime being covered up here.
Many crimes.
And so he starts to ask questions like, has the federal government made contact with these beings? And yes, has there been a deal that's been made between this entity and our government? And also, if there is some kind of a deal, how does that benefit the citizenry here of the United States? And in questions like that, I think that is kind of spot on right there, is that, hey, if there's some kind of, if you know what's going on, if there's something that you're hiding, because obviously they're hiding it from us.
Yes, they are.
And that he even goes on to say, hey, there's evidence that people have been seeing these things for, you know, thousands of years. Really.
Yes, yes.
So what is it, and what do you know, and what is going on in between these between our government and whoever this is, and what is this connected to? What could this possibly be connected to? And so I don't know. I've been thinking a lot about that, and thinking about, you know, what it could be. My personal thing is I don't know that we've had this conversation a lot, but it could be a spiritual force. This could be something from another dimension has the ability to show itself in our dimension. We don't know that, but our federal government doesn't just willy-nilly do things. When they do things, there's usually what we found out, especially over the last 3 years, is there's usually a very large benefit to an elite set of people to keep things covered from us. And I appreciate Tucker Carlson for being able to bring up a subject like this. And I don't think he would have said it quite that way if he were still on Fox News. What do you say, Barry?
Well, there's a lot to say there. Clearly, Tucker listened to the Rogan episode with David Grush on just a few days ago. And oh boy, it was a doozy. And you know, just to shine some credibility on Grush, he was a very, very high-ranking official in the intelligence community in several different organizations, as high up clearance as you can get. When he got to the highest, he was an investigator. And when he got to the highest degree of that, and I'm talking very vaguely because I didn't take notes. They use so much jargon and acronyms, not acronyms. What are the, when you use three different letters, is it an acronym? I think it is. Yeah. So they use a lot of those. I can't remember. And agencies I hadn't heard of course. And so when he
millions
got up,
of them.
Yeah. When he got up to some of the highest level and he started doing in-depth investigations into the UPA phenomenon, he just got extremely concerned that, because first of all, he never had any skin in the game, never said he's never seen anything himself that he would call UFO-ish or whatever, but he's reading real files that are not doctored, that are not forged, that are, you know, valid. He's at that level, and he's like, the American public needs to know this. And now he's just the guy to do it because they already tried their disinformation campaign and tried to make him look crazy and all that. They don't have anything on him. He's squeaky clean. The worst thing they had on him was that he did his protocol psych treatment for PTSD back when. He's like, yes, I did. I was going through a lot. I went through a lot and I dealt with it and blah, blah, blah. That's the worst they had on him. And he also, he threw his career under the bus, a great career for this, what he believes in. He is a guy of conviction. He's also got most of the elected government officials that we send to Congress behind him. They also want to know the truth. Who he doesn't have behind him is deep state. The people that has threatened his life, his wife's life, and have done other insidious things that he could only touch upon, not going to specifics. There's a lot of times he couldn't go into specifics because he's trying to cooperate with the government and do this right, try to release all this in the correct way. Now, why are some other reasons besides this? This is the age-old thing you mentioned that, oh, if we divulge this, the whole country will go into a panic and it'll be, you know, pandemania. That's the biggest line of BS out there. But here's the truth. And I know that Tucker listened to this part. This is towards the end of the interview. He said, there's been so much white collar crime that has gone on during all these decades of UFO investigations behind the scenes. They are all covert operations. They don't answer to anyone, not even Congress. No, you know, there's only a few presidents that know very much about it. He goes, I know which ones they are. I know which ones don't know anything about it. He knows a lot. He knows a lot. And, but he said, in order to divulge this, it has to be done correctly because there are so many people that have done that are like most of the deep state, high crimes and misdemeanors, that they have broken all constitutional laws because of, they had created this, their own authority and their own back black government ops and billions upon billions of dollars unaccounted for that go to companies like Lockheed Martin, he mentioned in particular, and he mentioned a couple others I didn't hear, recognize their names, that have had these contracts for decades, no bidding whatsoever. They charge what they want. And this has been going on in wars and stuff forever, but this is going on behind the scenes with these UFO, UPA, all this other BS stuff going on. So he says, as it comes forward, it can't just be boom, all broken out. I mean, our government would fall apart overnight.
I understand. Yep.
He goes, it has to be like, if you can imagine how someone comes forward and some key person comes forward and you have to give them immunity, even though they've committed the worst crimes ever, but you have to give them immunity in order to testify and divulge. And it has to be systematic like that. Otherwise we'll collapse. And man. Go ahead. If you want to.
Well, what I was going to say is that everything that you just said right there is exactly what I believe is happening. Remember, I started by saying all these things that are happening, all these crazy things are connected. Yeah. And this UFO, what is it, UPA, they're calling it now.
Just go with UFO.
Whatever.
But you're right. We have to mention that now and then.
So, yeah. These sightings, these things, I believe, are connected to the corruption in our own government that you're talking about right now. And I believe that it's highly connected to the military-industrial complex.
Sure.
And here's something. Remember, I love to read Imprimis by Hillsdale College. And I was reading, I heard Tucker Carlson talking about this, and of course I thought about you, and but I had read this in Primus as why the CIA no longer works and how to fix it, and it was written by this guy named Charles Faddis, who is he served 20 years as an operations officer in the Central Intelligence Agency, so the guy knows, you know, what's going on in the CIA. Sure. He's a CIA agent.
They've been rogue for decades.
Now, the CIA came into being in 1947, and I believe Project Blue Book or the whole UFO thing, right about the same year, 1947.
We're talking right off the heels of World War II.
World War II. In fact, CIA was put together for the stated purpose of avoiding a Pearl Harbor-like situation ever, that would never happen again. Right. That we'd be forewarned and forearmed in order to take this. Interestingly, the CIA comes into being at 1947, same time that these UFO sightings start to really ramp up. Then we have this Project Blue Book that nobody knows what's in it and all that kind of stuff. And then also, a lot more wars start happening right around that time, 1950, the Korean War. And then you go into the 60s, you got Vietnam, and then away we go. So the CIA was supposed to be this intelligence agency that could tell us all of these things. But then, of course, 9/11 comes. You know, fast forward several years, 9/11 happens. We didn't know anything about that, even though Osama bin Laden had been making threats to blow up the World Trade Center. He had blown up the USS Cole before that. The CIA has to have people that are spies willing to put their lives in jeopardy and be in behind the scenes and everything. And apparently we didn't have anybody behind the scenes there. In 2011, we finally catch up to Osama bin Laden and we take him out, supposedly.
Yeah.
The fact is it took 10 years for the CIA, the strongest military intelligence agency in the world, can't find this guy in the desert for 10 years, which is crazy.
You'd think it'd take 6 months tops.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Like if you think if they're going to try to find you and you ran out to the desert, you don't think they could find you real quickly.
Right.
I mean, seriously, then more recently in 2020, we found ourselves with this whole Wuhan virus thing. Coronavirus happens. And then we start hearing that these things were coming from a lab. And we heard that there's all these terrible things that were happening in the lab and that we knew about it. Biological warfare, the threat of biological warfare, is one of the CIA's top priorities to prevent.
Yeah.
But then when all this stuff happened, they had no information. They had no clue whatsoever. So what in the world is going on here? Well, Faddis breaks it down into two categories. And one is bureaucracy and the other thing is politics. On the bureaucracy side, what he's saying is that we need people. I see him over there. We need people that are willing to that have impeccable instincts, that can make decisions on the fly, that can navigate through a maze of mirrors and tolerate extremely high degrees of ambiguity. But the recruiters no longer search for intangibles or focus on the key psychological traits critical to success in the world of spying. They look for academic degrees, existing levels of language proficiency, and increasingly at things like skin color and sexual orientation.
Yeah, right.
So even the trainings have been minimized to be soft, and they're acting as if, you know, anybody could be taught how to conduct espionage. So the paperwork aspect where these guys, before they can even get in, they get reams of paperwork before they can get going here. So it's become more of a desk job where they sit in their headquarters at Langley and they never leave their office. And this is not how espionage works. You can't do it this way. I mean, the CIA has proved unable to put a source inside of the Chinese biolab, within the leadership structure of the Taliban, or even next to Vladimir Putin. So that's on the bureaucracy side. It's kind of woke, right?
Right.
But then on the politics side, we've seen a few things happen there with the CIA. This is interesting. You know, they took Osama bin Laden out September I'm sorry. Let me go to the thing that happened in Libya. September 11th, 2012, our compound in Libya was attacked. Our embassy, our ambassador was murdered. The CIA complex was attacked as well. The CIA was sending messages to the White House all night long that these terrorist insurgents were attacking the two complexes there. And this became a big deal. Well, within the next few days, the Obama administration, with Hillary at the head of the State Department, were saying that, well, this was just a peaceful protest that had gone rogue.
Right.
And they caught hell for saying that. Everybody knew that wasn't true. So that's when Mike Morrell, who was the acting deputy of the CIA, stepped forward to take the blame. And what he said was, he was the one that handed that report to Obama because that's the reports he was getting from the CIA. So he took the fall guy on that. And we know it's a bunch of BS, Barry,
because
we can already see this. We see the CIA reports that were coming in and none of them said that. Right. So here you have this thing happening where the CIA has become politicized. They're for a particular politician and waiting mm-hmm. for him to get elected. Furthermore, when you look at what happened under the Trump administration with the FBI Crossfire Hurricane and all that stuff, where they were trying to say Russian collusion with the Russian mm-hmm. dossier that came out of England, something I didn't know about this is that if the FBI goes to England, they have to get permission from the territory CIA agent over there. And let them know. That means that they have to get permission from, at that time, John Brennan, the head of the CIA. So they're totally in on what's happening right here. Then when John Brennan steps down, the person that takes his place is Gina Haspel. Gina was the person in England, in London, who had to give the permission from the CIA. So this is all very incestuous. It's mm-hmm. part of the plan. And then we got the Hunter Biden laptop from mm-hmm. hell. Mm-hmm. And you've got 52 intelligence agents who are all part of the CIA saying, this is Russian disinformation. You actually had 5 ex-CIA directors saying the exact same thing, which we now know was a complete lie, and they knew it.
Right, preaching to the choir here. I've seen it for months, if not at least a year, and they continue the witch hunt with Trump. But there's two things there, as far as I'm concerned. The one is that they're also complicit with the media to turn up the emotional dial on all this, so that if you talk about it at all, the people on the far left that are so fueled by hatred of Trump that they get so emotional that you can't even say anything over top of them. They lose their damn minds. And then on the right, and I hate to say this, I brought this up 100 times. If you just talk about the, without emotion, only rational facts, the Hunter laptop collusion, all of this social media interference, mainstream media collusion, just those alone, you got irrefutable election interference. But you guys always got to go into the stop the steal ballot stuff and then lose the whole right there. It goes into a too much crazy train and the whole point is lost. So I wish that we could just, because this is real. The CIA has been weaponized. IRS has been weaponized. All these places have been weaponized. They are guilty of election interference. Let's just stick to the basics that are really super provable and get it done.
You know, I love what you're saying right here. I'm just making a note because I have something else I wanted to say about this, but what you're saying is really interesting. I agree with what you're saying. This has all been weaponized. Actually, let me just take this a little bit further, because I wanted to make a point out of what we said, and I'll come back to what you were saying. I changed my mind. RFK Jr., you know, he's running for president right now. And one of the things he's out there talking about on the campaign trail has to do with the last speech that Dwight D. Eisenhower gave as president. And you know what I'm talking about. It was a warning.
Beware of the military industrial complex.
That's exactly right. And that this was the military industrial complex was not an American complex. It was a globalist complex. And that this would be fomented to steal our rights away. That's what Eisenhower said in January of 61 as he was leaving office. He's the guy that won World War II for the world, right? He knows what he's talking about. So what RFK Jr. is saying is that at the time JFK was president, when he got elected, one of the first things that happened was the Bay of Pigs crisis. Right. Remember, they tried to overthrow Castro. And it was the CIA that came up with a plan to use these refugees and arm them and then storm Cuba. And what he told JFK was that the people of Cuba, once they see that there's rebels coming in to challenge Castro, that they'll turn against Castro and we'll win this battle. Well, that was a lie. And of course, JFK found out the hard way that Alan Dulles, the head of the CIA, had lied to him. Now, RFK Jr. is making the point that the CIA was fomented not to prevent wars from happening, but to cause more wars happen for the military-industrial complex. And he's very persuasive when you start to look at what happened. He believes that Kennedy was assassinated because Alan Dulles from the CIA was pushing him into Vietnam, and Kennedy was only willing to send military advisors. And in October of 63, he was going to run for re-election, and he makes an announcement that he's not sending troops over into Vietnam. And the next month, he was dead.
Yeah, I've heard that before. I'm sure that's
I true. Think there's some truth to that. Yeah. But here's what I'm saying is that let's go back to the UFO thing. Mm. The CIA came into being in 1947. The UFO thing happened and started really ramping up in 1947. And it seems to me that these things are connected and that it could easily be used for a couple of different things. It could be something saved up for a time such as this, because we know one thing: when the federal government uses fear, it collects money big time. It has the ability to take tax dollars, print money, to do whatever they want. The elite are the only ones that benefit from this. The globalists are the ones that benefit. And imagine this, sort of the War of the Worlds scenario, where an attack from these UFOs is imminent and we need a centralized world power in order to fight this. And there's your one world government thing. I just think this is so interesting to me. And then, I mean, we haven't even talked about where this is coming from, because there's a few different options of where this could be coming from as well. But I just find the whole subject very fascinating. Again, Lisa, but this is all so connected, and it is important. Let's not fool ourselves.
There's never been bigger news.
And this could be used so easily to steal away what remains of our rights.
Oh, that's a really good point, too.
There's a big push for that.
Yeah. Well, okay. Grush says, and he's careful about what he says. He has to be. And he says that there's many, he alludes to the fact that there's at least several different races of aliens that we have or have had contact with, and we definitely have different forms of biologic, non-human biologics, which I take that to be not only what you would think of as your typical pilots, but probably other life form as well. I don't know, their pets, their plant life, I don't know, but something like that as well. Many different spaceships. He says, Rogan asks, what's the earliest one? There's this thing about in 1933. He goes, yep, I can confirm that. He goes, are there earlier? He goes, I can't say, but you can infer. So it goes back before 1933.
Oh, sure, it does.
Yeah, yeah, it goes back thousands of years.
It does, because we've seen where, like, pyramid walls with things that were look like a spacecraft with what looks like an alien piloting it. So, you know, the Bible is interesting in regards
this is, to I wanted this. To go here too, because I think that there's a lot there.
Well, if you look at Genesis, the story of Noah is very interesting, because what you have is you have the notion that the world has been corrupted by the Nephilim. The Nephilim are demonic beings that can appear in the flesh, and there's something about them that must not look like aliens, or I don't know, but they were able to procreate with the women on Earth. And so the offspring were the giants, the men of renown, they were called. Now when you think about it, it's like they could have been giants as in they're giant, or they could have been giants as Bill Gates is a giant in industry, right? Or it could be both. But we know now from that story that that these beings, demons from another dimension, let's say, can appear in the flesh here and procreate with other people, meaning that the offspring would not be human, or wouldn't be fully human.
Right.
And that these beings are not human at all. And that we know that that Satan was named Lucifer when he was an angel, and he's an angel of light. He can appear like light. What do we see in the sky? All these lights moving around. They can defy the physics of our universe as we look at them. We know that that these Nephilim were punished, and actually that hell was formed to put those demons into hell, not people, but put those demons in the deepest parts of hell. And by the way, there's this thing happening here that I'm doing research on. I'm not so sure it's real. They're called DUMBS. It's an acronym that stands for Deep Underground Military Bases. And there's all kinds of rumors on what's going on underneath our ground, and that there are rumors that there are underground so-called highways. I don't know if that's true or not, but that these entities could be living down there. They could come up out of there and appear like a flying saucer or whatever they want to appear like. I have no idea. I'm just speculating here based on the truth of what it says in the Bible, that this could be a lot of different things. And it could be something that our government, let's say it is a spiritual being that can appear in the flesh. Well, why wouldn't they be able to work with our own government? And when you take a look at where all the sightings have been in the world, the concentration of them are in the United States, which is the richest country in the world. And if you're an alien or even anything with intelligence, if you want to, let's say, have a stake in the world, you're not going to go to the poorest country. You're going to go to the richest country, right?
I don't agree with any of that, that there's this malevolence to these UFOs, this extraterrestrial thing.
Oh, I'm only speculating, Barry. I absolutely don't.
It's only
know.
A conversation. I think for sure that we are way too primitive for these beings that are observing us. I think at best we're
you might be right. Yeah.
Birthed by them. They are our God, so to speak. I think if you dig in your Bible and look at it from this point of view, and I'm no expert, so I'm just throwing this out, that you probably could find a real angle for using language that we could understand 100 plus years ago, 50 plus years ago. We didn't have the understanding prior to 50 years ago, technologically speaking, is what I mean. To talk about this kind of thing. But I think we could be their own experiment. You talk about breeding with us and we're hybrids. There's a lot of speculation on that. Could very well be. We could just be a complete experiment and they're just keeping an eye on us because it's interesting. And I mean, the thing is about the human race is we've always been so arrogant that we've think we start out thinking we're the center of the universe, and we still cling to that as much as we can. We think we're the most advanced life form out there. Always will cling to that as long as we can. And dude, 150 years ago, we're riding horses and living in log cabins. I mean, no air conditioning, no real, hardly electricity at that time, no computers, no nothing. We are primitive. We're just barely getting there. So these beings that have this kind of technology, if they had any malevolence whatsoever, we would have seen that a long time ago. Because the technology,
I don't know that. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and you might be right, or we just might not know what it is that they've done. There's a lot of different ways we can look at this, right?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, the story of Jesus, his birth, an angel appears to the shepherds, right? He's in the sky, and the whole place lights up because he shows up again. Maybe, like, to your point that they could be our gods. Well, angels aren't gods, but they are benevolent beings, right? Yeah. And they're not here to hurt us. They're here to help us.
Right.
We could be seeing that.
See, that's what I think.
We don't know. We don't
know. That's what I think. Yeah.
Here's what I think.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I think is we don't know. We're just speculating. It's fun to speculate on this. But
well,
back to the point is that it's not just fun to speculate. There's stuff happening right now that's impacting your life and my life, and it's important for us to find out what it is.
That's the thing, is because it's now become, within the last year or two, it's become proven that there is a lot information that we don't have. And
that's being hidden from us.
Here's another thing that Grush said. This is super important that Bob Lazar corroborated. Remember, he was...
Yeah, I remember.
He was talking about back in the 80s, he was in this program, and everything that he said, you know, 30 years later still holds true.
That's something that was on Tucker's show, is how consistent these UFO people have been. They have not changed their story.
Yeah.
Through intimidation and everything, they are not changed. That says a lot.
It says
a lot of these people have had their lives ruined over this.
And a lot.
And they're sticking to their guns.
Yeah, a lot. I'm sure the Men in Black can be extremely intimidating.
Well, and think about this, Barry, just going back to, like, for instance, the Bible, every one of those disciples of Jesus were asked to deny that Jesus was the Lord, and none of them did that. And all of them were executed as a result. Think about that. Nobody's going to go to the cross for a lie. And these guys that saw these UFOs, I mean, they're ruining their lives, they're ruining their families, but they're sticking to, they're saying, well, the truth is the truth. I mean, nobody's going to go through all of that for a lie.
A very small percentage of people that have the conviction and the bravery to do
the guts. Yes. The guts.
But that what I wanted to say about what Grush said and what Lazar said is, Grush is like, look, this is the most important thing that the human race has ever come across. The whole question and the whole philosophy, it needs to be explored. A lot of things mysteries need to be cracked. He goes, with this extreme secrecy that this is held with, a metallurgist scientist cannot talk to a biologist about what they're doing, much less a mechanical engineer. None of them can talk. They're all told different things, and they're all supposed to work on their individual silos, on their individual things. How do you reach any real? It's not real science.
You can't. No.
It's no. It's not. It's not even close.
It's designed to keep it a secret.
Lazar said the same thing. Grush says it's the same way today. He goes, He goes, and here additionally, he goes, you need the best minds working on this, right? You're not going to get them. He goes, you got, the genius engineer kid coming out of Harvard, or there's a better example, but, coming out of the big school. And so the government approaches him and says, hey, how would you like to work on some really cool stuff? And the kid's like, okay, what? Well, I can't tell you until you sign this NDA and you sign your life away, and you can never write papers on it, and you can never tell anybody what you do. Your career is never going to go anywhere. Your life's never going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Who are you going to get?
You're the
man in black. Who are you going to recruit?
Will Smith.
You're not going to get the best of the best. You need pieces of like really solid private companies working with really the best in our government and bringing their knowledge together and, you know, making some progress. And he goes, it's just bad science. And I totally believe that.
I see what you see, man. It's pretty interesting stuff right here. And I think we just beat the living crap out of that thing. So
There's a lot more to be said.
We could talk forever, but I don't want to bore our audience.
But you're right. We need more information is what we need.
Yeah, we really do. Mm-hmm. I want to move on here just to some politics here. Today, I think here's where I want to go with this is
I got one for you.
Biden administration tries spinning a good economy. Did you hear Biden talking about how this was the fourth least expensive Thanksgiving in American history?
I did. I don't. And they talk about the lies of Trump. They just think because they're colluded with the media who will support him, they think they could say anything. And it's going to become fact. A lot of people just take it as gospel. Hey, Biden.
I know. Here's something. It says Biden was saying wages for working families have gone up while inflation has come down 65%.
65%.
But actually, prices have gone up by 17.6% since Biden took office, while real wages have declined by 3%. Here's something from Bloomberg. They're saying that since early 2020, prices have risen about as much as they had in the full 10 years preceding the health emergency. It's hard to find an area of a household budget that's been spared. Groceries are up 25% since January 2020, the same with electricity. Used car prices up 35%, insurance up 33%, and rent roughly 20%. Consumers' daily routines have largely returned to their pre-pandemic normal, but the costs of living are not. Here's something from the Heritage Foundation. Real disposable income down 8.3, home ownership affordability down 35.2. That's the American dream right there. Credit card debt up 35.5%. That's huge. And monthly savings down 81.7%.
We need change.
I mean, that those are serious. And here a new report just came out, you know, how Biden is always, that's Bidenomics working right there.
They told him to stop doing that.
That's funny, because that's the report that I heard today, is that he's not going to use Bidenomics anymore. And I think it's so stupid, because it was Ronald Reagan that actually came up with Reaganomics. Yeah. And so why, you know, Biden, you're known as a plagiarizer. Why would you go for Bidenomics during a really crappy economic time? It's almost laughable that that would happen, but you know, here he is trying to steal some Reagan stuff. But speaking of the Biden administration, bless you. You got to give me
I wanted to show you something. That's because I have something queued up.
This actually goes with the last thing I was talking about.
I think I have something that goes with the last.
Oh, good. Okay.
Go ahead.
Do you have?
Yeah, you could go.
Okay. All right. So let me check the sound box here, because that's what I always forget. Mm-hmm. And it's this thing right here.
I got something different.
Okay. So here, this is interesting. Speaking of Reagan. This is a quote here from Miguel Cardona, the education secretary. I think he's in Utah talking to them about giving them advice. And look at the education system today in America and how jacked up it is. But listen to what Miguel says.
You know, we're going to set up follow-up calls with every governor we met with to make sure we're available. I think it was President Reagan said, we're from the government. We're here to help. There are resources there, there's technical assistance there, and there's a playbook that could support the work you're doing. Count on us as a partner in this. Our students are waiting. Thank you.
Does this guy not realize what he just said about, hey, Reagan said, hey, we're from the government, we're here to help. Well, Reagan said that you don't want to hear that.
Here's the actual quote from Reagan. the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
That guy didn't realize what he was even saying.
I mean, isn't that something right there?
That's priceless.
It's actually another quote. Miguel Cardona is the exact person President Reagan warned us about. I think that's good. Really funny, man.
That's good.
You had something you wanted to
say. I don't know if you saw this. I can't believe if you did not, because this was, oh my God, impactful. Now, I want to back up and say about Dave Smith and Tucker Carlson's show today. They actually said the same thing I've been saying for a year. Somehow or another, they are going to get rid of Biden. They was kind of like they had to fall back on Biden as their last choice in this last election. He's used up. They don't need him. He's not performing well. They need to get rid of him, and they need to put Newsom in there. That's what I've been saying. They said the same. Well, Carlson said the same thing. And here we go. Everything that we already know. Breaking. Blatant corruption. Byron Donalds absolutely hammers Biden in heated floor speech. I'll play just a tiny bit because, well, there's copyright in there. It's 7 minutes worth. But I encourage everybody to look up this YouTube video. And all you got to do is look up breaking blatant corruption.
This guy is a great speaker, by the way.
Yes, he is. Let's tell me if this is too loud.
Speaker, President Biden consistently has stated that he never discussed businesses with Hunter Biden's associates. That is a lie. Let me repeat that even for the colleagues across the aisle. It is a lie. Throughout our extensive investigation and from the lips of credible witnesses, it is abundantly clear that the Biden family business is Joe Biden. Let me emphasize, there is no Biden family business except for Joe Biden's 40-plus year career in Washington, D.C.
I'm going to tell you that he goes on to tell you about the investigation of the very tricky and not so tricky money trail of the different shell companies that they got to push the money back and forth. It's blatant. It is clear. I don't want to just take the show over with that. But I encourage everybody to listen to it. Cat is out of the bag, has been out of the bag for over a year. But the timing, they're going to time this just right. Biden will not, this is me talking, Biden will never do time, but he will be taken away and Newsom will be instated. They have a plan. I don't know how they're going to do that, but they're going to do that.
Well, speaking of that plan, tonight is the debate between Newsom and DeSantis. Oh. It's going to be on Fox News at 9 Eastern.
I don't care about listening to those sound bites. Seven minutes.
But here's the thing that I think is interesting is, like, first off, this whole notion that he's not running for president, then why would he be debating DeSantis? That doesn't make any sense.
Let's stop right there for a minute. What is, have you read any rationale for that?
Right.
That makes no sense.
And then here's the other one is, why would DeSantis agree to that?
That's a good one.
What does DeSantis have to win? I mean, I understand if you're going to be the governor, if you want to stay the governor of Florida, then maybe you're trying to recruit all the people that are leaving California over to Florida.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't want them.
There are some good people that are leaving, but I wouldn't take them all either.
I think the good ones already left.
That's probably true.
I'm sorry, your brother's over there.
Well, there's at least one couple over there that they could use, but they're from Florida, which is crazy too.
Are you saying Newsom?
No, Scott and Karen lived in Florida those years. So what does DeSantis have to really win unless Newsom decides to run for president, right? Right. And then when you take a look at the record between the states, I mean, as a former Californian, I have no idea what Newsom can actually stand on and beat DeSantis with, because that state is on fire, man. I mean, it is just crazy. But here's the thing, Newsom is clever and wily,
mm-hmm.
and he's got a charisma that DeSantis does not have.
That's right.
And
that's right.
He's, and I think that I feel like DeSantis is walking into a trap here.
I do too. I do too. And it's because of those stupid 7-minute segments of sound bites. I will not even listen to any of that. It's garbage. I don't know. It's like, I was going to make the comparison, but you wouldn't get it. The Cleveland Browns coach, Stefanski, never watch a press conference. You won't learn anything from it. He talks like a politician, never bother watching one. That's how I feel like any of these mainstream corporate media, debates, they're worthless. They're pre-prepared sound bites, and it's more about, well, the polls tell me I should say this to get the applause. And then do you remember Kamala Harris and her "I was the child on that bus"? Like, she did, she had one, you know, 1 minute of a good acting job, and that actually got her some popularity. I don't care about any of that. I want to listen to them on a 2-hour podcast. Then I'll make my decision.
Yeah, yeah. I hear what you're saying, and they should be doing that. That mm-hmm. should be how – I agree with you. The debates are a joke now.
They're a joke. Total joke.
And they're completely manipulated by the press. And, yes. I mean, this whole thing is a big setup. They got to revamp the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I'm totally mm-hmm. down with that. The whole thing is an anomaly. The fact that you know, it's going to be on Fox News too, I don't know. It's everything about it seems weird, but it is kind of fascinating. I got a couple more things here, Barry.
Hey, how about this? How about if they win on X, on Tucker Carlson's show, Freeform, no time limits whatsoever, but Carlson was the moderator? What do you
Wouldn't
think
that
of
be
that?
Cool? I mean, I would love that. I mean, that would be, but I don't think that Newsom would ever agree to that. That'd be a terrible thing for him.
Sure.
I got a couple other things here. Rosalynn Carter's funeral happened this week. Jimmy Carter's wife, former first lady. I got a picture here of the actual funeral where they, but it's real blurry and I'm not going to show it, but I thought it was really interesting where Melania Trump was sitting, because, well, let me show this to you. Let me see if I can show this to you. Because she is okay. So this is a terrible picture, but this is where Melania is. Mm-hmm. And this is Jimmy Carter right here. Mm-hmm. This is the honor seat right here. And why is she sitting there? And then you've got Obama's wife, Michelle, sitting here, but no Obama. And here's Clinton and everybody else. It's a weird thing. And then look who's in the second row. The vice president's in the second row.
Wow.
That's weird. And it's a protocol, you know, Melania sitting in the honor seat. If Biden was president, that is where he should have sat. VP sitting in the second row. No Barack, Jimmy Carter, whose wife died, pushed off to the side in a wheelchair. Really, really odd right there.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, the other thing, too, is like, look at Carter. I don't know if you saw any pictures of what he does. He looks like he's not long for meeting.
Well, dude, he's like 140. I mean sure.
Wow. And then also we lost Henry Kissinger this week. He was
yesterday or this morning.
Old. Yeah. So he passed away. And of course, you know, one of his great claims of fame is the relationship between the United States and China. He and Nixon were the ones that opened up that relationship with Mao. And look where we are with that now. I wonder if he would change his mind and do something different if he had a chance looking back. But he is pretty, he's got an amazing story. He was living in Europe with his family when Nazi Germany took over, and his life was in jeopardy and they had to flee to the United States. He actually served in the military and fought against the Nazis. And then when the war was over, I heard that he actually was in charge of hunting down Nazis and bringing them over to Nuremberg. So interesting story.
That it is.
Last thing I got here, Derek Chauvin. Did you hear about the fact that he got stabbed?
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah.
Prison the other day.
Yeah.
And I got a story here. Two things are happening. One is that Derek Chauvin, there's a documentary that is coming out It might already be out with Derek Chauvin in it. It's written by a let's see here. She is she might be a little biased on this whole thing, but it basically,
I was just thinking that with him, you would have to pick a side and take it from that angle.
Well, here's some things that are happening in the documentary is that a lot of the body cam footage that we never saw is being shown here. And it went, and they're saying, and I read all about this, they're saying that a lot of the reality of this isn't actually the reality that actually happened. Sure. And so this is all coming out. So with the announcement that this movie is coming out, that's when Derek Chauvin gets stabbed in a medium security prison that's got all kinds of, shall we say, Epstein-like screw-ups that happen over there where, oh, we got a shortage of staff and that guy got killed. Whoops. Yeah, that kind of stuff is happening there. It seems to me like he was put there on purpose. And as of today, the family of Derek Chauvin is saying that they have still not been given any status on his well-being. The doctors, they've not communicated anything to them, which I think is just absolutely wrong and terrifying.
That's interesting stuff right there. I'd be interested to see that. Is that a documentary, I guess?
Yeah, it is a documentary. I have the name of it here somewhere.
Because additionally, I would like to see some documentaries on the year 2000 through 2001 time period. Wasn't that the hot spot of Black Lives Matter and COVID and all of that stuff being pumped up in the news, things like that being a little bit clipped out of context, and
yes,
the media creating heightened hysteria. That's a great documentary to be made right there.
Well, and you look at what the whole January 6th thing, uh-huh, and then when Tucker Carlson released all that film, and it was like, wait a second, this film is telling a whole different story. Yeah. And then Johnson just released another slew of things that now it's telling a whole nother story.
Well,
and it's
who's Johnson?
He's the Speaker of the House now.
Oh, okay. So, I've not heard about this.
This just came out in the last couple of weeks. So this is... The whole thing goes back to what we've been talking about pretty much for the whole show, which is that our federal government is in the business of deceiving all of the citizens about what's going on. And we deserve an explanation. We're citizens. We pay their salaries. All of the secret information is our secret information. Yeah. And so as we look at, Biden saying, oh, it's the fourth cheapest Thanksgiving in history. Come on, man. I went to the store. I've been going to the store. There's nothing cheap going on over there right now. Can't even believe it. And I just think that it's going to be interesting as we go into this next year. And we've got these two guys, as you were talking, it's probably going to be Newsom. But what about Trump? As I take a look at this whole thing with Trump, it seems to me that, they'll stop at nothing to make sure that he doesn't become the president. You look at
there
what
you go.
They did with the Crossfire Hurricane and everything that happened before he became president, and then the impeachment.
Again, that's election interference.
It absolutely is election interference. And it's like, okay, with all of these and the gag orders that are unconstitutional, the only thing left that they have in their arsenal of tools is assassination.
I fear for his life.
I feel like these people have no morals whatsoever, and they will stop at nothing. And also, if Trump gets in there as the president, a lot of these people are going to jail. And so they know that, and they're not going to let that happen.
I agree with you. Not a Trump fan, and I agree with you.
It just looks like reality to me.
Yeah.
And
agreed.
And these are people throughout history that they liquidate people. That's what they do. And I don't want to see that happen to anybody. And I think it would be a terrible thing for the country. But it seems like we're heading in that direction.
I agree with you. Yeah. That's a sad state.
I hate to leave it on that.
I do too.
That was actually the first thing I wanted to talk about, but I saved it for last for some reason. I could go into 10 uses of dishwasher liquid.
Oh, wait a minute. No, let's do a demonstration of wiping banana peels on your shoes. Just don't go to the zoo and go walking by the chimpanzee.
Somebody else said that too. Don't go to the zoo after that. But here's the other thing. Don't get a banana peel and do your whole shoe tonight. There's experiment on like maybe the heel first, because I haven't tried this. I don't want you ruining.
You know, with that, a couple months ago, you told me to wipe a bunch of toothpaste on my mirror. I still can't get that stuff off.
On your mirror? Oh,
yeah. You told me it'd be anti-fog. Yeah.
No, I can't.
I can't even see through the mirror anymore.
You know, what's really funny about that is that Anne Marie and I have been having a heck of a time keeping my sliding glass window clean, because it seems like it's, oh, I just cleaned it, it looks so great, and then like 2 days later it's like, did you wash the window, Merle? And I'm like, yeah. And it's just like that keeps happening over and over. It's like you left all these streaks on the window. We can't figure out what's going on,
dude. I can't get streaks off a window. I could sit there with Windex all day long. I can't get the streaks off.
I just came to the conclusion that I'm a terrible window washer, and that Anne Marie should do it.
Well, there is the age-old thing that my mom told me about decades ago. Maybe vinegar, but the newspaper. But I don't get any newspapers.
I've done that before. Yeah, I don't either.
Bummer. So there's that. Maybe we can use your laptop, you know?
Just pull up the news and use your laptop. That's great, man. All right, you got anything else, Barry?
I've never had anything.
Well, hey, this was my show that I love.
It was totally. I wish you would have just ran with it from the intro. I like that. You did that once before. You just took a year or two ago.
Kind of did that. I told you I had a bunch of stuff right after you were trying to transition into something. I'm like, oh, I got a bunch of stuff here. So that's all good.
Well, it worked out good. I'm in a much better mood now. I was in a horrible mood.
Barry, every time we talk, at the end, I'm in a much better mood. Same. Even if I'm in a great mood.
Same. Same.
Hey, babe, tell the audience where they can, you know, tune in and all, how they can share all that great stuff.
Yeah, please go to over50startingover.com. Spell that all out, no numerals. And sign up there. Get all this to your email box as it happens. Or if you watch us on YouTube, if you want to watch over, just go in there and type in over 50 starting over. But I think you should go to Apple Podcasts and look up over 50 starting over. Watch us there. Sign up, subscribe, and give us a 5-star review, please. Much needed.
Get this book too. Very important. And then also when you read it or whatever, leave us a comment and like us. I mean, we like to be liked.
We like the comments.
Hearing from you. That's probably the most important thing. Yeah. We want to hear from you. Tell us some stuff. Only good stuff though. That's all.
Ask a question. Give a comment. Your response to something that we said, we'll talk about it. You know, it's good stuff. All right. With that, buddy, thanks so much. It's great. Great show. Really enjoyed it. And it's a relief.
Me too.
That it came off. All right, bud. Talk to you soon. Hey, I got a bunch of people asking to be guests on the show. I mean, a bunch. And I got to get through Marty
That's
Strong.
Great. I love it.
Yeah. So I got to prioritize, but I got to do my research on them. So we got a lot of good guests coming up. One of which is Marty Strong. We did a guest spot with him earlier in the year, I think it was. He's an ex-Navy SEAL. He's an author, terrific guy. He's coming out with a new book about business, nonfiction. And I can't wait to talk to him. That'll be probably late December. I was going to say this month. It is virtually this month, late December or January. So look for that. Got another psychologist, author. Anyways, keep an eye out for these. I'll keep you abreast of these.
Hey, let's try to get on that Boomer site too. We might as well.
I did try, man. And it was just such a lengthy process trying to get on.
It's still lengthy?
Yeah, I'll get back to it sometime when I
can reach out to that guy and just say, hey, did you look? Because it looked like it might be easier now. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I'll check it out.
I can help with that. I mean, let me know, okay?
Okay. Yeah, I'd appreciate it. All right. With that. All right. Talk to you soon. Have a good weekend, everybody. Love you guys. Bye.